I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Jason, what real quick before we get into everything else, what do you think of Monday night's performance?
Oh, boy. Like everybody else. I just think that this team right now, they just break too easily. And I heard you guys talking a little bit on my drive in about quitting and all that. Yeah, the Callaway play, it broke them. Just like I thought the Tennessee screen pass, Derrick Henry. Broke him. It changed the entire complex of the game. You can't let that happen. Yes, the Callaway play, it's a completely different game if he scores. But even at 21-3, you're not out of the game. It makes it a hell of a lot harder, but you're not out of the game. It's not even halftime yet. And that for the team to break even before the half, I find that unacceptable.
You know, I think that they were doing some things well. Their defense finally was getting some stops. It was 14-3 going in there.
Yeah.
Just like you were talking about. And that they were trying to stop Nick Chubb. San Francisco was trying to stop Nick Chubb. And they really schemed it well and got him out and open and started to make some good runs and started to settle down everybody across that Browns team, not just offensively, but defensively as well. It really started to settle some things down. They were going in, and then that happened, and I think they just gave up. And I still yelled it yesterday, and I'll continue to do it. You're not going to get anywhere. You have plenty of guys that fans like, that fans get excited about, but you have no leaders yet, and you have to find leadership. And that's even a calling out of Baker Mayfield. You have to lead. You're going to have to show by example, you're going to have to play well, and you're going to have to show by what you've been saying that you can back up everything about this football team. And I'm not talking about calling out Daniel Jones or any of that other stuff. I'm talking about what this team's supposed to be, because what this team is supposed to be is a playoff-caliber football team, and they certainly are not playing like it when they're just rolling over and letting San Francisco do what they want. When you're trying to fix this, though, or trying to make this thing better, because it was one step forward last week, then two steps back this week. Is this, and Anthony, is this more on Freddie or is this more on Baker? Who's got the bigger responsibility or who has more that they need to bring in line here? Is it Freddie or is it the quarterback?
Yeah, and this isn't the answer you're looking for, that it's got to be all of them, but I will always put more on the quarterback. Just because these quarterbacks always outlive the offensive coordinators. They always outlive the head coaches. If you've got a stud quarterback, players are going to come and go. Once you pay the quarterback, players are going to come and go. I mean, look at Russell Wilson. How many guys are gone from the team that won the championship now, the Super Bowl, and he just keeps on ticking. Now, this isn't easy because it's year two for Baker and it's first full year as a starting quarterback. And, oh, by the way, it's a rookie head coach. But he obviously did get along with them last year, and that's a big part of the reason. But I think it's Baker. Baker right now, here's what everyone keeps saying when you bring up his bad numbers. Well, he's under pressure. Look at his under pressure numbers. They're the worst in the NFL by far. So of all the quarterbacks when they're under pressure, Baker has the worst numbers of all of them, and it's not even particularly close. I think his quarterback rating under pressure is like 20, like 25. The next worst is like 45. So he's just been a terrible quarterback. If he were in his year two, or I should say like if he were not a number one overall pick and – maybe this were like year two and a coach was on the hot seat, he'd be benched. He'd be benched at some point if this continued. This is obviously not going to happen this year, and I'm not advocating for that. But that's how bad it's been for Baker right now.
Also, look, he was bad Monday night. He was really bad. But I don't know if they'll face another defensive front like they saw. The 49ers up front, I thought were good. They're elite. They're way better up front than I thought they were. So two of the last 3 weeks, they faced Aaron Donald 2 weeks ago, and then that 49ers team the other night. I don't think they're going to face a defensive pass rush like that again the rest of the year from any of these other teams. Not like what they saw Monday. And that's not to make an excuse for him. This offensive line, I've said all year, I think is horrific. I know that you can show some numbers or PFF at times has shown it's not as bad. When I'm at the games and watching it, they're terrible. They can't block anybody. And they're stuck now. There's no way to fix this at this point. Like, you've got who you've got.
Well, they have a trade deadline.
Yeah, but who are you going to – I mean, the Trent Williams thing, he hadn't played all year. That, to me, is unrealistic. Like, that's not going to fix anything.
What else are you going to be asking for? What else do you get Because what can you give up for a guy like Trent Williams? And what other teams are going to be willing to offer offensive linemen up? Because especially, you still always want to protect your quarterback. And with the exception of the Dolphins, because they gave up Laremy Tunsil, and I could say that that's nonsensical, because eventually you're going to want your quarterback, and you want one of the better offensive linemen to protect him as well. So I think it's hard to trade for active offensive linemen. It really is. Guys who are at least starters right now, I think it's very difficult to do so. So I think that that probably was overall, and we'll always go back and forth. It just depends on whether or not they win and Baker's able to get the ball out on time, because I still think, going back to the San Francisco game, I thought they reverted back to some of the stuff they were doing in the LA game in previous. Five, seven-step drops, a lot of that other stuff. I thought that it looked a little bit different at times, where they were trying to take, I thought going into the, and you might disagree with me on this, from where it was in game three and earlier, it looked more, I guess, Todd Monken, because I didn't see that type of thing last year. So I can only go by from what the rumors are. So bear with me. It looked more like it was Todd Monken. Game four against the Ravens, it looked a lot like last year with Freddie Kitchens. I didn't see as much. You know, we talk about, we obsess with the personnel numbers and whether or not it's 11 or 12. There was obviously a little bit more 12. But with what we saw yesterday, or what we saw on Monday, I thought that they tried to mix the both. And it led to a couple of problems. And then once they really got going, then they quit. So they didn't even really give themselves a chance to do anything in that game.
I felt like Baker was under duress from the snap. I feel like we didn't even get a chance to see what the routes were going to be, because he was under duress almost instantly.
Well, I think also part of that is, I wonder what's happening where Baker is seeing stuff at the line. Remember, it's only year two for him, and as smart as he is and as cerebral, when we talked about him on the whiteboard, which is a big reason why they took him, I'm just shocked that they were at like some weird loss as to what that team was going to look like. I mean, on both sides of the football, they kind of tell you what they are, a team like San Francisco. That's what bothered me so much about how they gashed us on the first play of the game, when you got Brian Baldinger saying they pray, the 49ers and the Shanahans pray for eight-man fronts because they will swallow it alive. And I'm like, man, you have a defensive coordinator that was in that division last year who should know all about that. Yeah. On the flip side of it, I don't know that they were doing all that much in the way of, like, we've seen teams try to confuse Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's going to continue to happen. I think Baker is just at a stage where maybe he's so confused right now. He's pressing. He's trying to do way too much to make up for things that he thinks right now are not going right on offense. And it's causing so many problems that maybe he's not diagnosing things at the line of scrimmage that he should be, because there are going to be some breakdowns. I mean, that happens for every team. Tom Brady was sacked how many times this last week? I mean, that's a guy who reads all that at the line of scrimmage. So eventually, Baker's just got to settle down a little bit. And hopefully, they're preparing him for what he's seeing time in and time
because
again.
Because I still think that overall, with the quote-unquote fixing of this or making it better, because, again, you're 2-3. It's not like you're completely horrible now, and you can win against the Seahawks. I don't care what anybody says. But if you're 2-3 and you're making this thing better, I still think it's more ultimately on Freddie. He's the head coach. He's the guy who's picked, and he's still working with a guy who's a young quarterback. He's still working with him. So there's going to be things that Baker, I just don't think he innately knows right off the top. There's great talent. But there's a couple of mixes, and there's a lot of things that, you know, going back and watching him on Monday and some of the other stuff, I think that he's so focused on trying to get the right thing going that he doesn't do some of the things that he did so easily last year. Pre-snap stuff, being able to shadow and throw people off of what he's trying to do. You know, people keep bringing up how he's staring down receivers. You didn't see that last year. He knew where guys were supposed to go, where his hands are before the snap, and not trying to give away whether or not it's a run or a pass or any of the other stuff. You're not seeing that as much this year. And I think that there is a focus on the offense. So as much as we might like Freddie, personally, there's a lot of things that he needs to clean up and he needs to fix to put Baker in the right position to put this offense back in control of where it was against the Baltimore Ravens. Because we got a taste of what that could be, and maybe it needs to be simplified in that case.
No, I agree with you. I think this does fall on Freddie. And I think a lot of times it's coach speak to say, got to put guys in the right position to succeed. But I think that applies here because the Callaway thing baffles me. And that is not putting guys in position to succeed. To make him learn a new position, and let's face it, like, you know, I think he struggles a little bit with the playbook as it is. And to give him a week to learn a new position and put him out there in such a crucial spot like that, that's not putting guys in position to succeed. I don't blame Baker for the read on that play. That was obviously the right place to go. But
play actually worked.
Yeah, I mean, if he catches the ball, we're having a different conversation. I just don't think Callaway has any confidence right now, number one, because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Does Baker have any confidence in him?
Well, he threw it to him.
But in general, I mean, in that position, yeah, you're going to throw it to him.
Yeah.
I just mean in general. Right now, I just wonder how...
I think if the guy's on the field, you have to have confidence in him. If Baker didn't want him on the field, he'll tell Freddie. Take him off the field.
No, because he threw to just about anybody last year.
Yes,
and he's been willing to mix
year.
It up with anybody. Yeah. So I don't buy that. The guy's on the field. The play is schemed up for Antonio Callaway. Now it might have changed after that play, but the play schemed up for him. Antonio Callaway has to come in with that catch. We can debate on how good of a pass it was. What's the best pass you've ever seen in the world? You got to come up with that catch. And maybe it'll feel a little bit better with Rashard Higgins, but you're still not going to be out of the woods just because Rashard Higgins is there. And if we're sitting here waiting for Rashard Higgins on it, you got a real big problem with the quarterback. But I still think it's ultimately on Freddie Kitchens, a guy who was picked to work with Baker to help make that situation better for everybody involved. 216-578-0092. We'll get your thoughts on that, as well as I'm not sure I can measure Odell in stats alone.
There is a radio show host who started a rumor. I don't even know if he's an active radio show host because I think you have to have a show to be able to start a rumor.
Fired again.
Yeah, fired again. You don't know him. Most of you will not know who this guy is, so it doesn't matter. But he said the Eagles have called the Browns about Odell Beckham. Now, maybe that's true, by the way. I can't even say that's false. Teams call about guys all the time. Jason, you covered the NBA for years. Do people not 100%. Call every team?
100%.
Whether guys have been pronounced as, hey, open for business.
Right.
Or not, right?
Yes.
So maybe that's true, but that doesn't count as an Odell Beckham trade rumor. That doesn't count because, you know, okay, Browns have called the Patriots about Tom Brady.
Right.
Anthony Lima is reporting that right now. Okay. Well, is anybody in New England going to comment on the rumors that the Browns have been calling about Tom Brady? I mean, it's easy. Whatever. Maybe they did call the Browns. The Browns are not trading Odell Beckham Jr. before the trade deadline.
I think that's the farthest thing from their mind. I was on Nick Wright's show last night, and he goes, because he brought up, you know who's, well, they should trade him. I go, I think that's the furthest thing from their mind right now, is trading him five games.
They're
going
to try to make it work.
Of course they're going to try to make it work, because he's a great wide receiver. And he's obviously has great talent. They need to figure out a way to do it. That's why it still comes down to the head coach, Freddie Kitchens, and to that coaching staff to try to make it work. Because you can't just do that. It's not like he's giving slack-ass effort. He's not doing any of that.
What kind of organization would you be if you did everything you could to go get Odell Beckham and you decided, you know what, 5 weeks in, we've seen enough?
You'd be the typical Browns. That's
what scouting did you do on Odell if you're like, no, this isn't what we were hoping for?
That is what you would be. You would be a typical Browns organization. You'd be no different than what it was. Five games into that, because that would remind you of Kenny Britt and Dwayne Bowe and guys coming in and not giving effort. Odell's giving effort. They're just not getting him the ball. He's being double covered. That's why I think Rashard Higgins is a pro wide receiver, so he could make things a little bit easier on it. I don't think it's an end-all be-all or a key to their victory, but if Rashard Higgins were able to come back and play well, it should open up Odell Beckham Jr. a little bit more. You should be able to get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. anyway. And I don't know how you go ahead and fix it without Rashard Higgins. It's only a guess. I don't know how you do it. I can't just force feed it to Odell Beckham Jr. If he's covered, he's covered. So I know that he's probably a bit frustrated by his lack of catches, and it seems that you're a bit frustrated by his lack of catches, but I can't measure him in stats alone. And there were plenty of people who, I know you gave a very unpopular opinion, but there were plenty of people who agreed with you on something like that. And we'll get to that here in a second. 216-578-0092, Jim in a car. You're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Jim.
Hey, you know what? Everybody wants to beat up on this team, and you got a first-year team, first-year coach, everything else, and obviously when you looked at, you know, our quarterback, you reminded me of Fran Tarkenton. I mean, he's running all over the place because the line was absolutely collapsing on him and didn't give him a chance to do what he needed to do, even when he got picked off by Richard Sherman. I mean, that's a rush pass. Obviously, he's going to get picked off, and all his passes are getting elevated. That's because he's rushing it. And our number one draft pick on the defensive side was quiet the whole game. So, obviously, San Francisco did their homework on both sides of the ball. And even Booger McFarland even made the comment that he was quiet the whole game. So, you know, will this team win the division? Yes, I believe they will. They just need to back up and regroup. And the game on Sunday, you'll probably see a different team. It just said, you know, this team don't need to be beat up right now because the talent's there, everything's there. And as a first-year coach, he's going to get this together because it's probably the best coach they've had in years here. So, I don't know. People can agree with me or disagree, but that's what I've seen from Monday night's game.
All right, Jim.
I mean, was it pathetic? Yeah, it was. It was absolutely pathetic. But, you know, they're going through growing pains right now. And once they get it all together, I mean, obviously everybody's going to be talking different about the team.
All right, so, Jim, thank you very much for the call. You gave a look over there. Go ahead and give a look. Say why you gave a look.
I just don't understand how you can say he's the best coach you've had in years. What proof do you have?
I have very little.
Okay, that's all.
Well, it's one man's opinion. I wasn't going to go ripping him for everything else.
I'm just saying I'd like to know what you're basing that on.
All right, Chris in Maryland, you're next up. I didn't say it. Chris in Maryland, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk about how the Cleveland Browns offense is missing some kind of identity. What I've watched in the games that we've played so far is sometimes we look like we're trying to be shotgun vertical passing. Sometimes we're an RPO. Sometimes we run the football with Nick Chubb. We run trick plays. I don't know why we don't copycat what the L.A. Rams do with their offense, where we run a zone run scheme and everything in the focal point is Nick Chubb. CBS had a great article yesterday about how we should make Nick Chubb the focal point of the offense, and everything else should span around it. With a shorter quarterback, once you get play-action passing moving and Baker is athletic enough to run boot passes and movement and get away from the line, everything else will open up on the field. But we're doing, like, four different types of systems, it seems like, instead of just doing one. And the second thing we need to do is we need to go look at the tape of the Kansas City Chiefs and put in a better screen package because they run more screens more than anybody in the league. And what that does is it helps out a weaker offensive line because now they're not just supposed to protect against four guys rushing upfield, teeing off on them, which is what happened Monday night against the Niners.
You're dead right about what's going on with the Rams. You're right about that. And I think because Todd Gurley's had a little bit of trouble there. And Chris, thank you very much for the call. You're right about the Rams. I think you'd be right about the 49ers and how they scheme open the run. I think for the Browns, they're trying not to give you one look every single time, but I think they might be confusing themselves a little bit with how they're running their offense.
It does seem like things settle down more the ball's in Nick Chubb's hands. That's when things settle down. That's when things start to roll.
Does Baker not play more comfortably and more confident when Nick Chubb's having a good game?
I mean, I think
like
any
when he had
quarterback
good games
would.
Last year, yeah.
And by the way, as far as the screens go, you know, they popped a couple of screens against the Rams, one in a huge, huge third down play where they totally caught the Rams in a vulnerable moment. They had the huge screen, obviously, against the Baltimore Ravens. So that's come and gone. I mean, in years past, they've been terrible with the screens. So I think they found that this can be a huge play. And then when Kareem Hunt comes, obviously, I think they're going to go to him early and often with screens. The only question is, well, now are you okay with the fact the ball is out of the hands of Nick Chubb, who you almost want to see him with the ball more than you've seen him so far. So that's something they're going to have to figure out. As far as finding an offense, I think – yeah, it's one thing to have an identity. Look, there's a reason that the Rams, they run essentially the same formation almost every single time. They know there are some limitations to Goff. I think it's the opposite with Baker. They think he has no limitations. They love trying to do whatever they can for Baker. You can make the argument that they almost think he can do too much.
That's what I think is going on. And I don't think that he wants to sit there and go, you know, it's just too much for me. You guys got to slow this thing down. But it might look like it is. Again, I think he's focusing on a lot of things that I don't think he had to focus on last year. And people are saying, well, he's locked in on wide receivers. I didn't see that type of argument being thrown against him last year. The pre-snap stuff we were just talking about 40 minutes ago. The pre-snap stuff, where his hand positioning is, where his feet are. There's certain tells that guys study. And now all of a sudden I think that that's lacking because probably he's focused a bit too much on what type of offense they're trying to run. Maybe it does need to be dialed down and put back there. And it does go hand in hand. When you have a good rhythm going with the running back, it's going to make Baker a better, more effective quarterback overall. It would do the same for anybody. I think that's okay. I don't know why I need Baker Mayfield to try to zing the ball down the field. He didn't try it on Monday, obviously. But I don't need him to try to roast it 40 times in a football game and never be able to run the football. That doesn't make Baker Mayfield a better quarterback. I don't think that makes me feel more comfortable. I'd love to be running with Nick Chubb. When you have a not-so-great offensive line, the best way to get them going is to get them run-blocking. Your natural reaction is to move forward. So what do I want to do? Do I want to plant their feet in the mud and have them move around and have to pass block against the best defensive line in the NFL or one of the top three defensive lines in the NFL? I don't want to do that. I want to get them moving, get them in space, get their feet under them, get their momentum going, and go run block. And you can do that with Nick Chubb. That's how you mask a bad offensive line. Tim in University Heights, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, I think half of the problem is they're game planning for Odell Beckham Jr. That's why you're getting all of the drops that are 7 and 8 seconds instead of just doing what he did against the Ravens. That's why they're saying he's a one-read quarterback.
So everything's too much on OBJ?
Oh, no. I mean, how many targets did Odell have? I know they tried to give him
six.
That's six targets for Odell Beckham. That doesn't seem like they're trying all that hard.
Seems like they're trying to force it to him too much early.
Well, I do think early on.
Tim, thank you for the call.
Early on, the plan was very much Odell. Like, you know,
he was in the script.
Well, yeah. First of all, they win the toss and they elect to receive, which is now twice. This is obviously Freddie's thing. Bruce Arians does it too. So it's something he must have picked up from Arians, or obviously there's a reason for it. So they know they're going to get the ball, and they come out with the gimmick play on Odell, one, and then the second is a pass play to Odell. So they wanted to get him coming off the Baltimore game when he wasn't very much involved. It's very clear they tried to get him involved a lot early on the other night.
Yeah, but I can't we're going to do this. When they lose games, we're going to look at what did they do. All right, well, they tried to get it to Odell too much in the first seven plays. So that was why they lost. Or if it's another game where they don't go to Odell and they lost, it's going to be, well, they didn't. I think we're reading too much into a scripted game plan.
Well, then share me the overarching theory then, and I think I know where you're going to go with, but you did say, and there were people who agreed, so we might as well just ask, why do you think that he's been a disappointment through 5 weeks? Or the experience of Odell Beckham Jr. has been a disappointment?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Other than being 2-3 and not being able to get the ball to him a ton.
I think of the five games and four games, your offense has been a disappointment, and Odell Beckham is the number one playmaker in this offense, or at least is supposed to be. On any offense he'd be on, he's supposed to be the number one playmaker, and that just hasn't really worked. I know everybody said in the Baltimore game, well, he got guys open, so therefore this is working out just how they were hoping. No, eventually, teams are going to be happy if you're throwing the ball to Ricky Seals-Jones as opposed to Odell Beckham with the game on the line. Fans will be. You think Bill Belichick wouldn't love that? You know, the great defensive coordinators in this league will try to take the ball out of the hands, and that's why we'll see what happens because Pete Carroll's a really good defensive mind and has been for many years. Doesn't have the talent that he's had in years past, but I think he'll be happy if you're throwing the ball to guys that most people around the league haven't heard from. Like, yeah, it's one thing to say, well, he's taking the pressure off those guys. I didn't trade a first-round pick, and eventually you're, again, going to have to make Odell probably one of the highest-paid receivers in the game. I didn't do that for him to be an afterthought or a decoy. I'm glad that they can take advantage at times when that happens, but over the course of 16 games, Odell's got to have touchdowns in the red zone. He's got to have targets in the red zone. And that hasn't been the case. That's not all on Odell. I think people misconstrue that when I say it's been a disappointment, but I do think right now, through five games, it's been a disappointment with Odell. I don't know how you could look at it as anything else.
And I hear what you're saying, because I don't think I'm going to fight you a ton, because I think it takes it to a different level where, again, what are you doing to free up your best wide receiver? What are you doing to make sure that guy gets open? What are we doing to beat double coverage? What are we doing to beat safety over the top? What are we doing here with this guy? Because, you know, Pat Shurmur was able to scheme him open.
You think
Ben McAdoo, who's fired, was able to scheme him open.
You think the Saints with Michael Thomas, you think teams aren't trying to take him away?
Yeah.
Of course. They're still figuring out ways to get him the ball without their quarterback.
So I still have to look at, well, what are we doing there on the sidelines here? Because I brought this up to you all during the summer. I've never seen a coach, and I never hope I hear a coach, well, you know, I just don't know what to do with all this talent. And we keep hoping, and there are people who keep bringing it up, well, you know, someday we're going to have Kareem Hunt here. All right, are we going to sit here and wring our hands all together about how to get Nick Chubb the ball when Kareem Hunt's there, or how to get Kareem Hunt the ball when Nick Chubb's there? Or, well, now we have Kareem Hunt, so now we have to focus on trying to get the ball to OBJ again and how to use guys as distractions and decoys. I know you only have one ball to throw, and guys have to share it sometimes, and there's going to be days where OBJ might have a ton of targets, and there might be days where he doesn't have a bunch at all, like when they won against Baltimore.
I'm just waiting for the game, and I guess maybe you could say the two amazing plays he made in that Jets game I'm just waiting for the announcers to say, man, this other team has no answers for Odell Beckham. And so far, it's been these teams have had plenty of answers for Odell Beckham.
If I looked at your overarching thing when you said the disappointment thing, 216-578-0092, when I looked at that all together, I'd have said you're crazy. But I would have to say yes, and it's not for Odell Beckham. It's not his I don't think it's his fault. I don't put it on him. You can get mad about the watch and visor, whatever. That's ancillary things. But overall with the performance, you went and traded the guy because he'd be a great, talented wide receiver and a nice person to throw to for your great quarterback in Baker Mayfield. And I think it's maybe the biggest part. Where's OBJ? Well, what's going on with the offense? Yeah, I think that might be one of the most glaring things about it. And you can preach offensive line play all you want, and it could still be on that. And that's very, very true. But these are still things that Freddie Kitchens has to get figured out. There's still things that Todd Monken has to help him with. Chris and Stowe, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning. You know, I think a big difference between this year and last year is exactly that, the hybrid offense they're trying to run. Last year, Baker got the play, got to the line of scrimmage, could look at the defense, make adjustments, and had success. Right now, he's getting the play. They're barely getting the line of scrimmage. And he cannot make those adjustments by quick looks at the defense. Yeah, this hybrid thing is not working. They got to pick a coordinator and have one.
That was part of that was part of the reason I think things worked so smoothly against Baltimore, and that's why I think they kind of reverted back to mixing in some of the Monken stuff. And I'm not trying to make bad puns or any of that stuff, but you know, when you're calling plays on first and second down, when you're running it down to the nub on the play clock, that's not good. That means you're not getting in the signals the way you want them to.
Again, remember last year, Baker would be grabbing guys, moving them. He had so much time before the play that he could look at the defense, make a call, do what he does best, which is get those shots in the seams, you know, and do the matchups. But he can't even see the matchups right now. He's getting the line of scrimmage, snapping the ball. You know, he's not being able to make the defense make adjustments on him. You know, they're already ready for us. We got to pick a coordinator.
I don't think
one guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's as confident with it. And Chris, thank you very much for the call. See, that's what I don't want to happen. Is that we're reverting back to the same conversations we were having after the Rams game. What's Monken doing? How much is too much Monken? All that other crap that goes in. Are they getting the signals in? We're talking about Baker staring down guys. We're talking about him doing the pre-snap stuff that he's not doing what he used to do, and it still seems to be leading to a confused second-year quarterback where he's not 10 years into the league and knows how everything's done, and you can just throw everything on his shoulders.
Yeah, I think we need another couple games because I still feel it. He was just under so much duress Monday night. I don't think anything had a chance to develop. We don't even have we don't really know what was supposed to be there because he took the snap, took two steps, or somebody in his face. It wasn't even – I'd like to know that – and I don't know this. I'd like to know how much time he had to throw on average per pass play because it just – being at that game, it felt like as soon as he had the ball in his hands and looked up, he was running for his life.
216-578-0092. Has this been a bit of a disappointment, especially when mixing in with Odell? When you hear Lima out, it does make a lot of sense. That coming up, and as well as Richard Sherman's problem with the handshake reminded me of my own problem with a neighbor earlier this week. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.